Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Abdullah Anderson, the newest Chicago Bear, in just a few moments. First, our play-by-play call of the day. Yesterday, two guys hit three home runs in the majors. Mookie Betts did it for a second time this year for the Red Sox. And for Cleveland, Edwin Encarnacion. Here's the call.
The next pitch hammered. Deep left. There she goes. The third three-homer game in the career of Edwin Encarnacion. He blistered one to left. And the Indians lead it 12-4. And the parrot needs oxygen. It's taken so many trips around the bases. Third three-homer game in the career of Edwin Encarnacion. His first with the Indians.
Oh. Remember I was talking earlier, Sean, and I mentioned, you know, not all, but like how many times it, like in broadcasts where you're like, oh, come on, pick up the energy here a little bit. I love Tommy Hamilton.
You can tell when you love what you do, it shows, doesn't it?
It shows so much. Look, these games are emotional. Show emotion. All right. Abdullah Anderson now joins us, the newest member of the Chicago Bears, Bucknell's own. Abdullah, welcome. It is an absolute pleasure to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be on here.
First of all, congratulations on the Bears. You go through this process. Explain, once the draft thing was over with, you know, how the doors started opening for you, the Chicago Bears.
Well, it actually started while the draft was happening. So, like, during the sixth, seventh round, teams started giving me their offer just in case I did go undrafted. A lot of teams I thought I was going to get that the 49ers pick in the late sixth round. So teams were kind of throwing me offers just to get their foot in the door and show that they're interested. And then once the last pick was thrown, then almost every single team in the NFL were calling my agent, calling me, and either increasing the offer or like giving me even more deals on like how they feel like I fit in their system. And when the Chicago Bears called, D-line coach called me and say, look, like, we think you're an incredible player. We want you to come out here, and we think that you are a perfect fit to not only make the practice squad, but we think you can make an be impact on a 53-man roster. So once I heard that, I was like, okay, that's my best chance, and I know that I can go in there and make an impact.
And that's exactly what you want to hear. When you've got choices, you want to hear like, hey, look, we're not just signing you to bring you in. We're signing you to come in and compete for a job. That's going to be a big-time carrot in the center when you hear that.
Yeah, most definitely.
All right, tell me about the Bucknell experience. You go to Bucknell, you have just a fabulous career. I mean, all Patriot first teams, you know, across the board, 15, 16, 17, second team your freshman year. What was the experience like playing at Bucknell? What did you get out of it?
I mean, and playing with the incredible players for over 4 years, that's the one thing I kind of, the biggest part factor I got out of it. I played with some incredible linebackers my 4 years. Freshman year, I played with Evan Byers. And throughout my last three years, I played with Ben Richard and Mark Piles, which they were amazing all-league players, too. And just having that bond as a defense, and even with my defensive coaches, defensive line coach, Coach Borch, and Coach White this past year, and being able to bump heads and talk football and to understand each other's strengths and weaknesses to be able to go out there and play downhill football. It was a long time, you know, coming from playing high school. I only played 1 year of high school football. And, like, I came in kind of, like, timid. I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to fit in. But I told myself, I was like, look, I'm going to go in there. work as hard as possible and say to myself, I'm going to go in there and start. I'm competing for a starting job, and that's what I did. As soon as I stepped on the field, first game, I started first game of my freshman career and started every game since then. So
it's interesting. People can have different moments along the way where it changes them. And my broadcast partner for Penn State football, Jack Hamm, who's in the pro and college Hall of Fames and so forth, he said when Joe Paterno put him with the first unit in the spring, his sophomore year, his freshmen were ineligible, so he couldn't play his freshman year. He put him in the first year. He said that changed everything for him. Was there a moment along the way for you confidence-wise that changed all of a sudden and put you on a track mentally that was different?
Yeah, I think it was that first game. So, like, I was in the first game and probably, like, the second or third play in, I came off the ball and real fast and slipped the shade off of a guard and made a TFL. And I already had two tackles before it, but that was, like, my first TFL, and I was like, wow, I can do this. All the weight came off my shoulders, and ever since then I had a phenomenal career. And then every year from that point on, I just focused on something different to change my game. Freshman year, I was all about the run, attacking the run, attacking my gap. Sophomore year, I improved my pass rush game, got 4.5 sacks my sophomore year, and I was like, oh, snap. Like, I thought I was just a run-dominant player. Now I'm attacking the quarterback. Now I'm going to even change my game even more, and confidence kept on flowing through me. Then by my junior year, I got 9.5 sacks because I was just out there having fun. And that's why my deep line coach really instilled with me, like, look, don't worry about too much. Just go out there and have fun. You already have the athleticism. You already have the knowledge behind the game because I'm in the film room 24/7. He's like, go out there and just play. And that's what I did, and I was able to get 9.5 sacks my junior year. So it was a culmination. Ever since that first game when I got that TFL, that's when was my breaking point of, okay, I can do this. I can play this game.
One of the keys to making an NFL roster at this stage is that can you show some versatility? Part of your versatility is in the course of your career, you block 4 kicks. You have to have a knack for that. Tell me about the first one you blocked.
The first one I blocked, it was funny because so throughout practice, me and my previous D tackle, Ben Schumacher, we were literally blowing offensive guards off the line through PAT field goals. And this was before our first game. We were like, look, we're going to get a lot of block kicks. And my first block kick, we told each other, we kind of switched spots because he was on the inside. And I was like, all right, we're going to shimmy because I have a longer wingspan than him. And literally, I let him take off first. I came off second, split through the crack, put my hands up and blocked. And I was like, oh, man, this is amazing. And ever since then, I just had a knack for getting through gaps and pushing back guards. So, and I told myself, I told myself when I go into this next phase of my life, I want to do that too. Like, I'm not just going to be out there trying to just get in 53 minor roster just on D-line. I want to explore all my options with special teams and everything. So,
yeah, you want to block in such a way where it bounces back up to you and you take it all the way to the house. I mean, you might get some glory out of this.
Yeah, I'm trying to take 100 yards down and get a touchdown. It was funny because the one time I was able to get a touchdown, I was literally 5 yards away from the end zone. My linebacker tipped a pass, and I was already pushing the guard back into the quarterback, and I caught it one hand. I tipped it to myself. Tipped the football one-handed, caught it one-handed, and I saw the end zone within my reach. It was 5 yards away, but the offensive guard took my back plate and ripped me to the ground, and it was like the most. I was like, oh, man. That's the biggest dream a defensive lineman can have, is get a touchdown in the game.
No doubt. And by the way, if you're blocked, 3 of the 4 block kicks he had, by the way, were field goals during the course of his career. What do you want to work on between now and then the first opportunity to impress them, which is very shortly?
I've already been working on a lot of things. I've been working on putting an attack, continuing to work on my pass rush game. I've been working heavily with my defensive line coach and previous players that played here that have been all league players, and they've been helping me out a lot. They've been giving me different sets, just being able to have that eye awareness and to be quick off the ball and not have to think twice when I get to minicamp when I arrive in Chicago. So I've been working on everything, just all around, just trying to get better.
What does it say about Bucknell football that Julian Davenport's there and now you have your chance?
It shows that number one, you know, we have a chip on shoulder. We're both from South Jersey, so South Jersey has one of the best football areas in the world, I think. I mean, if you listen,
yes,
read off the list.
I totally agree with you. It does.
Yeah, if you read off the list, we got my cousin. He plays for the Tennessee Titans. You got Julian. You got Gesicki, who just came out and got drafted. We got Ed Shockley from Villanova, who just got picked up. I feel as though Bucknell's doing a great job with their recruiting area and picking out players that not only that are hyped up, but are they believe they can be great players. Because I wasn't really that hyped up in high school. Nobody really knew about me until Coach Susan came to one of my games and saw me ball out. So I feel as though we're there on the right track to becoming an elite team and a championship team. And I can see you're already now, like they're players right now. When I went to work out today, you got freshmen in there, sophomores, young bulls in there, working hard and having a goal to win a championship. So I'm glad that me and my captains last year were able to instill that in the team and start a new culture here at Bucknell.
What has Coach Susan meant to you in your career, your lifetime?
He's the man of the myth of a legend, man, because when I tell you, like, when you're feeling low, like the lowest possible you can feel, he has a slogan right in his back pocket that he can say and then to pick you up and keep you going. He's been a great father figure to me while I've been away from my family, and he's been just a wise guy who given me the tools to be the best player I can be. He's a dude that gave me a chance when nobody else will, and I just thank him every single day I could. To give me that chance, because if I didn't have that chance, I don't know where I would be right now.
Well, it's been a privilege to have you play football at Bucknell and to watch you play football at Bucknell. Now it's going to be a privilege for all of us to watch you make the Chicago Bears, because we think you will. Congratulations on this next big step, and I know you'll work hard to make it happen.
Thank you, and thanks for having me again.
Abdullah Anderson, one of the best Bucknells ever had. Interesting. 1 year of high school ball. Joe finds him. Joe gets him here. And then this guy, freshman year, he's second team All-Patriot. Then he's first team All-Patriot the next 3 years. And like he said, during the sixth and seventh round, he and his agent start getting calls from other teams saying, you're available. We want you. You know, believe me. And I've talked about this in baseball maybe more often than other sports, because in a baseball broadcast, you know, when you're doing 45, 50 games a year like I am in the summertime, you get time to talk. And there's so many different colleges that we find on a roster. Well, the same goes for football. And I'll use the same terminology I use when I do a baseball broadcast as I do a football broadcast. If you can play, they will find you. If you can play, they will find you. That's why all those pro teams knew all about Abdullah Anderson, because they know he can play. Many found him. He chose the Bears. I've got a feeling he's going to make it. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I guess when you were at Maddie's, Abdullah Anderson put on quite a show, huh?
Overall, great dude, humble dude, and everyone just couldn't wait to get questions to him. And I think there may have been a question or two of, what do you think of Coach Susan? Like, well, what's the one thing that Coach Susan does that gets you under your skin? And of course, he wasn't going down that road, so.
No.
But yeah,
No.
He was one of the top highlights of all the student athletes showing up at the luncheons each week. So look forward to seeing that again in the fall.
All right. Penn State's Board of Trustees Compensation Committee today approved a contract extension for Patrick Chambers through the 22 season. It's been mutually agreed to and signed by both parties. So his contract extension goes through the 21-22 season. All right? There you go. I can't get into all the recruiting stuff because you've got to wait for, to be frank with you, somebody has to fax in a letter of intent before I can talk about it. Oh. So it's a 4-year contract extension, okay? For Pat.
Well deserved for Coach for sure. So it all goes back to last summer, Steve, when we weren't even at Memorial Day last year, and it's like the basketball team's here. They're staying here this summer. They're going to work out. Cohesion, came together quickly, and it was that moment when that really paved the way for them to have some success and weather those little storms that occurred during the year, and lo and behold, then able to hoist that NIT championship.
Well, look, I want to go back to something. I want to circle back to something. By the way, the Jets released one of their quarterbacks today. It was not Christian Hackenberg. It was Bryce Petty. Bryce Petty's the one that got released. So, usually, when they're going after a coach, do I have a person or two pull me aside and say, hey, what do you think? Yeah. Or a phone call. Hey, just want to, it could be somebody on the selection committee, could be whatever. Okay. And I certainly have opinions about people. Whatever. Did I want them to get James Franklin? Yeah, James Franklin was, in my mind, without meeting him, just, because I try to do my due diligence on research. Same thing with Patrick Chambers. I watched him coach a game down in Puerto Rico. I'm like, dude can coach. Kansas NCAA tournament, the dude can coach. I like his personality. But there's also another factor in here that I think is a really important factor. And I have been consistent, and I've mentioned this to anybody over the years that has asked me. You can talk about wins, losses, how they feel about academics, motivation. Are they good people? Good people in the community. Okay. There are going to be a lot of people that fall into that category. But there's another part, too. I want them to think, when they take the Penn State job, that they feel like they're taking the job. They want to make sure that when they're done here, that they've made Penn State, whatever the sport is, a destination job. Okay? Penn State should not be a stepping stone to something allegedly bigger and better. Penn State should be the bigger and better. James Franklin obviously feels that Penn State is the job. And it took a little bit for people to understand that, and I understand because of because Bill O'Brien left for Houston so quickly. So the Penn State fan base was burned by that. And when you've got a rising star in the coaching ranks like a James Franklin, who's now established himself there. I'm going back a couple of years now. You feel like they got him. Like, hey, they got one of the rising stars here. There was a group of a layer of the fan base that was concerned, like, well, okay, is he going to take this job? Is he going to go to Texas? Is he going to go to the Redskins? What's he going to do? But I could tell right away in talking with him that he felt that the Penn State job was the job to him. Same thing with Pat. Pat wants to make Penn State, I'm not talking out of turn here. Okay, we've talked about this. He wants Penn State to be a destination job. Now, however long he's here, whatever. But he wants, to him, the Penn State job is the job. Now, obviously, I have a personal feeling about that because I feel in what I do, in my simple profession, that I've always felt that Penn State was the job. We have had chances to go other places. I don't want to. To me, I feel like I'm at the top of the, because this is the job I want. So that's why with this contract extension, now, you know, they had to have success this year for it to happen. Let's be straight about that. And they did. 126 games, 11 of them in the Big Ten. Made the Big Ten semifinals, won the NIT. Now the next step is you want to get to the NCAA tournament. But Patrick Chambers feels that the Penn State basketball job to him is the job. Just like James Franklin and Cale Sanderson and Russ Rose feel that their Penn State jobs are the job. There are a lot of elements that go into making a great coach. But on that list somewhere that's very important to me is that kind of attitude about the job.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Nationals beat the Pirates this afternoon 3-1. And if you've missed any of our any of the show today, podcast is going to be pretty good. Dick Girardi on the Kentucky Derby, and there's a lot going on surrounding the Derby's great field. And Abdullah Anderson joined us today too. That was fun. He was a great guy to talk to. Toronto leads the Indians 5-1, bottom of the fourth. I mentioned the Nationals beat the Pirates 3-1. Top of the eighth inning, Astros lead the Yankees 4-3. This is getaway day for a lot of teams. Atlanta beat the Mets 11-0. Let's see, Red Sox and Texas tonight. There's going to be more here on here in just this. Oops. Of course, if you click it the wrong way, you end up making a complete mess. And to my credit, I have made a complete mess. Let's see. And other games tonight include, let's see, Cleveland-Toronto, Red Sox-Rangers, Minnesota-the White Sox, and Baltimore and the Angels and Seattle and Oakland, so an off night for the Phillies. And, of course, WKOK is your home for Phillies baseball.
Great performance last night by Aaron Nola down in Miami.
Yeah, he's good. I
and
like him.
He'll crank up a series with the Nats tomorrow night.
The Jets putting Bryce Petty on waivers. Christian Hackenberg is still on the Jets roster. Dr. J said Jason Tatum, probably should have been the first overall pick. Okay. Tatum was going to be the first overall pick. Except, because remember, the Celtics had the first overall pick. And Danny Ainge made the deal where he could get an additional pick, and because he knew Tatum was still going to be there at three when he picked. So Tatum was going to be the first pick for the Celtics if they stayed in the number one spot. They weren't picking Markelle Fultz. And Patrick Chambers, a four-year contract extension with Penn State basketball. And the suit is sore, but the back spasms have stopped. He's at the chiropractor today. It was important just to get that update in.
Yeah. A little quick weather check to let everybody know. National Weather Service has posted a severe thunderstorm warning for a portion of our area, portions of Northumberland, Snyder, Montour, Columbia, mm-hmm. Union County, until 5. So just okay. Be on the lookout in case skies get a little dark while you're in the car. Hang with us. We'll get you more updates as we get them in.
Tonight, Cleveland and Toronto, Celtics and Sixers, and also tonight, it is the Penguins and the Capitals. Tom Wilson suspended 3 games. All right, so now you're up to date on what's going on. All right, let's get you up more, further up to date. I mentioned the Pens and Capitals last there for a reason. Josh Getzoff from the Pens Radio Network joins us. Josh, always a pleasure.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Thanks for having me on.
All right, Josh, so let's get to the Wilson play. He ends up breaking his jaw. I want to hear, you watched the initial hit, then you watched the replay of it. What did you think of the hit?
Well, to be honest with you, Steve, when it happened, I actually didn't see the hit live. I was in the building. I just did not see the hit live because I was following the puck, and as we know, this was not near the puck. And then when you saw the replay, it's nasty. I mean, I don't think there's any other way to describe it. Tom Wilson's a guy that, unfortunately, for all the skill that he has as a former first-round pick and skating on the Capitals' top line with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Alex Ovechkin, he can't really get out of his own way when it comes to making plays that are just not a hockey play or not things that should belong in the game of hockey as far as hits to the head and jumping when he delivers those hits and hitting guys that are where the point of the contact is the skull. I mean, it's not a good look. It has never been a good look. And, you know, there are a couple articles written this morning that I thought were some pretty good points as far as Tom Wilson was concerned back in Pittsburgh. And those articles talked about the fact that, you know, once or a couple times when you're talking about an unfortunate situation, you could label it that it is just simply unfortunate. But when it's the same guy involved in all these quote-unquote unfortunate situations over the course of his career, eventually that just becomes a trend. And I think, like I said, despite the fact that Tom Wilson does have some skill to his game, he's really just known as a guy who can deliver hits that are of the illegal variety. And we've seen a couple in this series. Columbus saw one last series and with this whole situation.
Well, Tom Wilson's lucky I'm not in the commissioner's office because I would have suspended him for every game that Aston Reese is out, plus one. All right, to me it's that simple. When you hurt somebody like that, you can't be playing while he's out. Can't be.
No, and you know what? He's a guy that unfortunately has. You know, I'm not trying to defend Tom Wilson here, but I think when he's thrown hits like he has in the playoffs and he's not been suspended for it, what's
that's right.
He supposed to think? You know, like what's he supposed to think as far as his game? I don't think he has no reason to change the way he's playing when he's not being shown the press box for what he's doing. So, well, not just him, but those hits in general, I don't see how these guys are going to stop doing it because in their mind, if there's no repercussions, what they're doing must be okay.
I have a standard in football. I mean, this doesn't come into play so much in basketball. You know, you get flagrant ones and so forth. But in football, so many times I see a guy, you know, make a catch over the middle, and then he kind of ducks his head down because that's where his momentum's going. And the guy defending him is already going down to a spot to make a play, and they inadvertently hit helmets, and it ends up being a targeting call. But it's inadvertent. And I don't want to hear this mumbo-jumbo about he's still at a skate on the ice. He's launching himself. It doesn't take a genius to look at he's launching himself. That's why his right skate's off the ice.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like I said, it was an ugly play. I mean, I don't. There's no defense for Tom Wilson there. And I know the Capitals have talked about the fact that he led with his shoulder. Well, that's great, but he led with his shoulder into the guy's head. So, yeah. I mean, That's the problem here. It's one thing to throw a shoulder-to-shoulder check, and that's clean, but that's not what happened here, and it's not what happened on Brian Dumoulin in Game 2. Although I will say that I think that if you're looking at the two, not that we should be comparing cheap shot versus cheap shot, but, and you know, a guy who's launching himself at strength to basically after the hit land on top of the dasher board by the bench, you don't land on top of the board if you're on your skates the whole time delivering the hit. So
right.
I think that it's just an ugly play. And, you know, if I'm Tom Wilson and I don't get suspended for that, why can't I do it on Thursday night? Why can't deliver a six-point hit, you know?
That's a really good point. They lose the game in the end on a 2-on-1 out of the zone. You've looked at the play. What was the breakdown on that? Because the Penguins, 1 second, of course, have good pressure with a little bit more than a minute to play. What led to a 2-on-1, which then led to a loss?
Yeah, well, honestly, it looked like that was going to be a goal for the Penguins there late in the period and late in regulation with how that shift was kind of rolling over there and how the Penguins had the Capitals pinned in their own zone. For me, it starts with a couple of things. One, it's kind of been a theme for the Penguins in this series in that their defensemen have not been all that smart on their pinches, and they have not been all that smart on where they're playing the puck when they do pinch. Ole Matta, I think, made the right play there as far as coming up the wall and trying to keep the play alive. what he needs to do with a minute plus left in the period and then in regulation is put the puck deep, keep that cycle game going on the Capitals, because that group had been out there for a while. What he did instead was he played the puck to the middle of the ice. And when you do that, it becomes a 50-50 puck in that situation. And the Capitals had Nicholas Backstrom in the vicinity, and that's a guy that when he sees a loose puck, he's more than often going to get it. He's very talented. He's been having a great series for the Capitals, and obviously he starts out the other way. And not to beat a dead horse here, but Ole Madden slew-footed and tripped by Tom Wilson after that, which totally took him out of the play and sent the Capitals the other way on a two-on-one. But, you know, when you have Ovechkin and Backstrom on a two-on-one, you kind of race for the worst. So I think it was a really good-looking sequence from the Penguins until Ole turned it over. And in Matt's defense, you know, this is a guy who's probably had his best full season of pro hockey in his career so far this year. But unfortunately, that kind of a hiccup on that kind of a stage looms large, and now the Penguins have to take themselves out of the 2-1 hole.
How did you feel about Malkin's return last night and his level of play?
I think it was about what you would expect, Steve, as far as him coming back, missing three games, having that lower body injury, which, quite honestly, I thought was going to be a lot worse than three games when it happened. Did not look good with how he fell there in that game against Philadelphia. But, you know, Evgeny Malkin's a game-breaker. He's an all-world centerman, and that's a bonus for the Penguins that they can add a guy like that to the lineup. And you had the feeling in a 1-1 series with him coming back that that could tilt things in their favor. Mike Sullivan started his line last night, which is extremely rare. He almost always starts Sidney Crosby's line, almost always starts Brian Dumoulin and Chris Letang on the blue line. And last night he started Malkin with Dominic Simone and Brian Rust, and then Ole Matta and Justin Schultz on the blue line. So it's a totally different look, I think, to try to get the crowd ignited. It did that for sure when Malkin's name was announced as the starter. It was deafening in there. And I thought he had a pretty good game. I mean, I feel like you and I maybe are having a different conversation today if his shot doesn't ring off the post in the third period when he beat Braden Holtby clean. And he had a couple opportunities. Patrick Hornquist's power play goal was a direct result of Evgeny Malkin putting the puck towards the net, which is something the Penguins have not done enough of on this power play. And also to that point, he had that slap shot that trickled through Braden Holtby's Bible and just kind of sat there in the crease. So I think there were some positives for him, plenty of them, actually, as far as his return is concerned. You have to expect maybe there would be a little bit of a catching up game for anybody after having missed a week and a half, 2 weeks of just that high level of intensity and action. This isn't the regular season. It's a different kind of atmosphere on the ice. I think I would expect him to be totally 100% ready to rock tomorrow night and possibly make a difference in that game, as we've seen him do so many times before.
To be honest with you, I really liked how Malkin played last night. I felt that you could just see a difference. Vision, hustle. I thought he used his body well last night. I liked how he played last night, Josh.
Yeah, I think he's obviously a key piece for the Penguins.
For anybody.
Yeah, he does so much for them. And I think one thing that I will say about Malkin that it's going to be interesting to watch as this series progresses is, you know, Gino is as good as he's been. There are times when the games get emotional where he can sometimes be on the wrong side of it. That did not happen last night. You know, he's right in the thick of things, but it wasn't in a bad way. But I worry sometimes about him because you either get one extreme or the other, Steve, as you know, with him when these games go emotional. Either it flips the switch on with him and he becomes the most dominating player on the ice and takes the game over, or he becomes a guy who takes a lot of stupid penalties. And when you face a team like the Capitals, with how this series is going emotion-wise, Penguins have to keep things in check. And they've done a good job of that overall under Mike Sullivan. Last night I thought they still did a pretty good job, all things considered, with what went on in that game. But this Capitals power play, much like the Penguins, that can turn a game on its head if they get opportunities. And that's going to be a serious thing to watch moving forward for the Penguins. They live by that just play mentality. And Malkin's obviously adhered to that. So has Sidney Crosby, Chris Letang. But those guys are going to really have to keep themselves in check because you know the Capitals feel like they have some kind of an edge right now. And I would expect them to continue to play with an edge through their game overall to try to keep the Penguins off kilt. And it'll be up to the Penguins to keep themselves on kilt and respond the right way.
This has been a series to me so far where it seems like there's a moment where one team has an edge, the other team has an edge, then the winner gets the final edge. What do the Penguins need to do to sustain their edge so that in the end they're the team that's finishing?
Well, I think, you know, as you mentioned, Evgeny Malkin looked really good last night. It goes kind of back to him coming into the lineup, and not so much just him, but the trickle-down effect of him being there. Because the Penguins, when they have Crosby, Malkin, Brassard, Shea, and down the middle, there are very few teams that can match up with that. And the Washington Capitals are one of the teams hang with them, but I don't know if they can match up with them. So I think when, as this series progresses, with that being said, it's nice to have it on paper, but you need to have it on the ice. And I don't think that you've gotten enough from Phil Kessel. You haven't gotten enough from Riley Sheahan, Derek Brassard, Connor Sherry. I mean, these depth players for the Penguins, I think, quite frankly, I was talking with Phil Bork about this morning. Those guys have been outplayed by the depth players for Washington. I don't think there's any question about that through the first three games. And you tip your cap to the Caps because I think they deserve a 2-1 series lead based on how the play has gone. But I'm with you. I think things are extremely close. You wouldn't expect anything less between these two teams. But if the Penguins can find a way to get more from a guy like Kessel, who's been very silent and oddly silent for him when it comes to the postseason in this series. Derek Brassard as well. He was acquired for this kind of situation. I feel like he's been a bit of a disappointment in this series as well. If those guys can ratchet up their games with Malkin back in the lineup, the Penguins will be fine. But that's a big if right now based on what we've seen in the first three games.
Josh, great stuff. Really appreciate the time and the insight very much.
Yeah, no problem, Steve. Great to talk to you.
Josh Getzoff from the Penguins Radio Network. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Patrick Chambers, four-year contract extension through 21-22. The compensation committee agreed to that today. Peter King is leaving Sports Illustrated and SI.com. He's going to be joining NBC exclusively, including NBC Sports Net. He, of course, was the founder and is the one that has been grinding out Monday Morning Quarterback on SI for years. At the end of this month, he will officially leave Sports Illustrated, but he goes on to NBC full-time. Silence on your end. You're taken aback. I think you're surprised.
That's very interesting. In a way, not surprising. I just kind of wonder when it was going to happen, just hearing over the last several months with, you know, Sports Illustrated scaling back their per-month issues and hearing about other people leaving and going to other, you know, pay for services such as The Athletic, which if you're interested in some great longer form stories, which it's a great source to look into about your favorite team or your favorite sport. It's going to be an interesting dynamic too now on Sunday night NFL football on NBC with the pregame show, since Dan Patrick's no longer going to be hosting the show. So that'll be great for Mike Tirico to slide in before he would probably take a full-time play-by-play gig once, you know, Al Michaels decides to step down.
Well, it's not happening just yet, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
let's get into coverage. ESPN's numbers in terms of like people cutting cords and so forth continue to drop. But you know, the one thing I should point out, and I want to be fair about this, is that 86,263,000 homes still have ESPN in it. 86 million is not a tiny number. Almost everybody has dropped from February of a year ago, with two exceptions, two notable exceptions. NBC Sportsnet actually has picked up homes. in the last 15 months, and so is Big Ten Network. Now, the Big Ten Network number is going to drop dramatically here in June. It was a 10-year deal with Comcast, so now they're in that negotiating phase. Part of it is we're going to drop it, you know. So we're going to start with the non-footprint, then we're going to go to the footprint. So, I mean, just it's going to be a game that you as the viewer is going to have to endure here. But let's see. In the last 15 months, ESPN is down 1.5 million homes. ESPN2 down 1.6 million homes. ESPN News, 406,000 homes. My apologies. ESPN News. ESPNU is down 5.4 million homes. Fox Sports 1 down 1.2 million homes. Fox Sports 2 actually went up 7 million. All right. They're at 57 million now. So they actually went up. So Golf Channel down 5.5 million homes. MLB Network down 5.3 million. NBA TV down 5.7 million. NBC Sports Net up 1.2 million homes. NFL Network down 2.8 million homes last 15 months. And let's see. Actually, the Tennis Channel gained 10 million homes in the last 15 months. TNT down 952,000 homes. 952,000 down. So that's where they are. But you're still talking about millions here. Yes, ESPN was in 101 million homes. Yes, they are down 15 million homes. Is that a concern? Yeah. But you still are in 86 million homes. Hey, that's not really that shabby. All right, coming up tomorrow, we'll have Jared Diamond, regional baseball writer for the Wall Street Journal on the show, and Steve Bortstein, Fox Sports Radio, talking about the Kentucky Derby. He'll join us from Louisville, and the Prince of Metal in the final half hour, who, by the way, got more praise yesterday at the golf tournament. Kevin's doing better. Sean's always great. Great to have you with us.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.